First of a series this year on the topic of Kedushat Shvi'it, the sanctity of Shemitah produce, and I'd like to explore first what it means when we call Shemitah produce Kadosh, and what sense is it, quote-unquote, sanctified, and then hopefully we'll discuss some of the ramifications of that Kedushah, such as the prohibition against wasting Shemitah produce, doing commerce with Shemitah produce, should be a wonderful topic.
You froze.
You're freezing up. Uh-oh, bad day.
It's okay. We're going to get through it. Is anyone, not much I could do. I'm the only one on the internet here, and let's hope it continues to hold on. So let us begin. Hopefully everyone has a source sheet. Let me know if you do not, with source number one, which I think is maybe the most intensive expression of Kedushas Shvi'is. This is in Sukkah, Daf Mem, Amud Bet. It's actually in the middle of the context of a machlokas, but for our purposes, we'll just look at the brisa quotes. Tanya kavasha Rebbe Eliezer. The following brisa agrees with Rebbe Eliezer. Shvi'is tofeses es dameha. Shvi'is grabs its worth. What does that mean? It grabs its worth. Just give me a second. Shneamar, as it says, ki yovel hi. Kodesh tiyeh lachem. This is the pasuk quoted in source number 4 here and from Bayikra. Yovel is referred to as Kodesh, which we'll translate for now as holy. Ma Kodesh tofes estama vasur, just like Kodesh, hekdesh, grabs its value and therefore is prohibited. Ah, shvius tofes estameha, shvius also grabs value and is prohibited. What does it mean? You, everyone? But always feel free to participate and add any observations or questions. What does it mean for Shvi'is to grab its value? Take a look at source number 2 in Rashi. Rashi says, Kodesh, Hekdesh, Hekdesh, Vedek, Abayis, Pedia, Kesivbe. The notion of redeeming Hekdesh is written about Hekdesh. Shazei Yotzei, that this, meaning the money, enters. Hektish leaves. Mazen nichnas tachtav, meaning you can retake hektish, redeem it onto its value onto a coin. The coin is now holy, and the hektish item is not. Yotze hektish lechulin benichnas hadamim tachta. And now the hektish itself is no longer has the status of kedusha; it's considered chulin, and the money has the kedusha. So to shvius, therefore, if you buy shvius, the money that you use to purchase the Shemitah produce is Kadosh B'Kedusha Shvius. The Kedusha is transferred to the money. But the discussion does not stop there. For the Gemara continues. The second line of source number 1. E ma kodesh tofes dama v'yotze v'chulin. If so, just like Hekdesh grabs its value, and then the Hekdesh itself becomes chulin, is no longer holy. We should say the same thing. If you pay for Shemitah, the money now has Kedusha Shvius, but the pre itself, the fruit, the original produce should be Chulin. The Gemara says, no, Kodesh Tihyeh Lachem, it will be holy for you. It retains its status. HaKetzad, what does this mean? Lock up a pair of Shvius Basar if you use Shemitah produce to buy meat. Elu ve'elu mitbar and b'shvius. They are both subject to bior. Both the original fruit and what you bought with it are holy. Lock up a basar v'dagim. However, now you took that meat that you used, that you bought with a pair of Shvius and buy fish. Yatza basar v'nichnesu dagim. And the Gemara continues, etc. I think the Me'iri in source number 3 summarizes pretty succinctly. Says the Me'iri, kfaya data. Shepidyon shvius chamor mi pidyon hektish. Redeeming shmita produce is even more stringent than redeeming hektish. Shapoda esa hektish yatsa hektish lechulin. If you redeem hektish bedek abayis, an object that someone donates to the base of mikdash, so then that object becomes chulin. Benitbisu adam and tachtav, and the money takes its place. Ava shvius. Imachar per shvius puanikar pirishon. If you sell shmita produce, and that Shemitah produce is referred to as the first fruit. Hariyah perot atzman shvius. The peros are still holy. They're still shvius. B'yah lokeach. V'hadamim Nitvisu Bekdusha Shvias Biyana Mocher, and the money is also Kadosh Bekdusha Shvias. Vehem Pri Sheni, that's considered the second fruit. Ufriza Sheni Mishal Mederech Mekach Beraderech Hilal. However, the second fruit can be Mechulal. You can transfer the Kedusha from the second fruit to another object, such that the original Pri, the original produce, will retain Kedushas Shvias. And then all the subsequent versions of this exchange will contain the Kedusha Shvias. And then when you pass over to the next one, they will lose Kedusha Shvias. That is the halacha. Point being, we have this notion of Kedusha associated with Shvias that is always extant in the original Pri, but can be transferred also to other objects. The question is, what is the nature of this Kedushas Shvias? What do we mean when we say Shvias is holy? I'll give you another example in source number 5. We have this notion that certain things have Kedushas Shvias. The Gemara in Yerushalmi in source number 5 refers to various materials used for cleaning, for laundry, laundering clothing, and they all have Kedushas Shvias. So are these materials holy? In what sense are they holy? Now, before we think about this question, I think it's worth considering the notion of kodesh in halacha generally. What does kodesh generally mean? Now, generally in halacha, I would argue, if I would ask you, when something is kodesh, what does it mean that it's kodesh? We say, yeah, go for it, Yaris. Oh no, I'm freezing again. I give a fault. Freezing again.
Halakite, you know.
Okay. What would you say is the meaning of kodesh generally?
Sanctified for Hashem, for God, for Beis Hamikdash.
Right. So it has. But I would generally translate kedusha as having an elevated status due to its religious function or proximity to God. We say the Beit Hamikdash is holy. Kohanim are considered kadosh. This is generally the notion of kedusha as expressed in the Torah. In most cases, I'll give you two examples. There are tons.
I'd add the.
Yes, Rezev. Okay, I'm losing them again. Oh yeah, yay. Anyway, I'll. I don't know. Should I continue as they come back?
Sad times here.
There you go, you're back.
Really don't think we'll be better.
Did you hear what I said?
No, I
said separated from the norm by its holiness.
Separated from the norm by its status. Well, that's a more general definition. So let's get to that. Just briefly, because I know we're already running out of time because of the freezing. If you look at sources 6 through 8, both describe a typical use of kedusha. In source number 6, we refer to the miluim, the karbanos during the miluim, and we say that the miluim, these karbanos from mekadesh lekohanim, and we say zor lo yochal ki kodeshim, because the karbanos are sanctified, they're used in the base of mikdash, they're brought as an offering to Hashem, therefore a zar, someone who is a non-kohen, cannot eat those karbanos. Source number 7 and 8, we refer to Maaser Sheni as Lahashem Kodesh Lahashem. And Rashi says it's God's, it's from his table, and therefore he requires you to eat it in Yerushalayim. So that's the general notion of Kedusha, Maaser Sheni, Kodshim, Konim, Hashem himself. It's called Kodesh. B'nai Yisrael are called Kodesh, all relate to this sort of elevated status. However, there is another use of the word Kedusha, I think most prominently expressed in source number 9, in reference to Kelayim. Lo sizricha karmecha Kelayim, says the Torah in Devarim Chabeses, you shall not plant your vineyard as Kelayim, pen tikdash hameleya hazera asher tizra, lest your planting become sanctified, or kodesh at least, maybe not sanctified. Now, unless you're a Sabbatean, you are not going to want to hang around Kelayim because of its kedusha, right? It's not kedusha in the sense of Maaser Sheni in the Mikdash. And Rashi says, "Mikdash, as it is expressed in the Aramaic translation. Unklis dilmat hista'ev, lest it become tame. And then Rashi says, what Zev said before, kol davar hanitav al yidei adam. Anything that is distanced from people, people distance from it. Bein l'shvach, whether for praise, for a good reason, you're going hekdesh. Bein l'gnai, whether for its detriment, b'kayon devar isor, like something that is prohibited. No felbo lashon kiddush. So the fact that we describe kiddush shvius as kadosh does not necessarily mean that it is kadosh in the hekdesh maaser sheni sense. And the question is, in what sense is it kadosh? This question is featured in the discussion in source number 11, the Kalkelet Shviit, by Rav Moshe Chisrin, who brings a very interesting question or suggestion from our Reuven Katz. Take a look at source number 11. Harav Rashi Petach Tikva, Hagon Marina Reuven Katz Shlita. Reuven Katz, I don't think he's alive anymore, but at the time he was. For Reuven Katz had the following suggestion. Yotz v'dom v'dor chadash. I'm not sure what the next acronym is. Son is new. The Pirushat Tosefta, the Shkala. He had the following suggestion. The Ein Mevi'im Menachos Nesach in Perishvius, the reason why you can't offer Menachos, meal offerings, or libations from Shvius produce, Mishon de Pero Shvius Yesh Behem Dusha Mohekdesh. Pero Shvius, Shmita produce is sanctified. It's kadosh, like hektish, like the items associated with the Beis HaMikdash. The davar shevachova in a ba elamin achulin, and you can't bring karbanos except from chulin. You can only use a chulin animal or chulin produce to bring us karbanos. You cannot use kadosh produce. Shmita is kadosh, and that's why you can't use it for a karban. And Rav Moshe Chisrin says, absolutely not. That is not a legitimate explanation for why. He says, Levad Zos, Be'ikar Adavar Shechimei Shiyav Shalahavi, Menachos Nesach, Mipeir Shviyas, Mishon Davar Shevachova, Eno Ba, Ela Menachulin. This suggestion that you can't bring karbanos from Shviyas because it's not chulin, Eno Nachon Klav. It's not true at all. We find this by Meiser Sheni. Yeshbo Kedusha. Meiser Sheni is holy. It has an inherent sanctity. The Asr Lechol Meiser Sheni below Pidyon. You can't eat Meiser Sheni unless you redeem it. I mean, meaning outside Yerushalayim. If you're impure, you can't eat Meiser Sheni. If you're an Oni, you can't eat Meiser Sheni. You lost me again. I hope not. Alval Pero Shvius. Ein b'hem shom kedushas gavoah. There is no elevated holiness to Peter Shvius. Damodar lochlo b'tzoma. You can eat them while you're impure. Although we'll see, it's not so simple. With a kol makom kechulim amish, we treat Peter Shvius like chulin. Shvius is chulin. Umay dekari leha gemara kedusha. Umay deksib biyova kodesh shelachem. Oh, you're going to quote me source number 4 and source number 1. The gemara calls it kodesh. No, that doesn't mean kodesh in the Meiser Sheni sense of the term. That's not what it means. It just means there are certain prohibitions associated with Shvius. It's kadosh, meaning you can't throw it out. You can't do business with it. It's not holy in the sense that hekdesh and Meiser Sheni are. It doesn't have kedushas gavoah, an elevated sanctity. And he gives a proof from the Gemara and Shvius. And in the Yerushalmi, which uses the lashon of Kedusha regarding Arla, in the same context as Shviyas, Kedushas Arla. Is anyone going to say that Arla is holy? You know, again, unless you're a Sabbatee and you're not going to spend your time around Arla. It's Asur. That's what it means. You can't eat it. So we call it holy. It's Nitavai Deyadon. Men, people, distance themselves from it. So this discussion is prominently featured here regarding Arla and Shmita. Okay, so the question is, which is correct? Is Shviyas kadosh in the Meiser Sheni Beis HaMikdash sense? So I want to explore a few different contexts in which this question is central. And the first I want to discuss is the notion of throwing out or disposing of Pero Shviyas inappropriately. If I were to ask you on a basic level, why is it forbidden to dispose of Shviyas inappropriately, to throw out your Pero Shmita? Or the simple answer be, based on what we said, Why can't you throw out Pero Shmita? Because they're holy. That's what you would think. You don't throw out Kisvi HaKodesh. We don't throw out things that are holy. If Pero Shvias are holy, that's why you can't throw them out. Simple. It's not so simple. That's the problem. So let's discuss this notion of why you can't dispose of Pero Shvias. The Mishnah in source number 12 in Shvias Dala Yud discusses not only disposing of the fruits themselves, but cutting down the fruit trees that they grow upon. And the Mishnah says as follows: Me'emasai in kotzitzina ilan b'shvias. From when can you not cut down a tree during Shemitah? And the Mishnah gives a few different opinions, depends on the tree. The bottom line is once the tree begins at least to produce a fruit, and we can call what's growing on the tree a pre, you now can no longer cut down the tree because by doing so you will inhibit the growth of the Pero Shvias. Why can't you do that? Why is it inappropriate to cut down the tree before the fruit fully develops? The Rambam gives an interesting answer in number 13. Asor lipsos hailanos bishana shviyis imhitchil lohotzi peyotayan. It's forbidden to cut down trees during the seventh year if they began to bring out their produce mifnei shugozel b'nei adam. Because by doing so, one is stealing from people, stealing from the public. Because God gave the fruits of these trees to all people. How dare you cut them down and prevent people from gathering them? So the Rambam sounds like he's saying the problem with cutting down the trees is Gezel Harabin. And the Rosh says it's very nice, but I have a Gemara, which sounds like it gives a different reason. Says the Rosh, Rosh Mishan, from source number 14, why can't you cut these down? The Perek Makom Shenagu, we quote the Gemara in Sachim, Amrina Misham de la Ochler Amarach Mana Velola Hefse. The Torah says that Shvius is lit Ochla. It's meant to be eaten and not to be disposed of. By cutting down the tree before the fruits are fully developed, you are being mafsed the peros. You are causing them to be lost. And that's a problem. Indeed, he's right. The Gemara in Torah 13 sounds like it says exactly that. Take a look at Surah number 15 from Sachim Nun Bet Amvet. Rabbi Lai cuts Kathiyasa to Shvius. As Rashi explains, we'll get back to whether this is the appropriate explanation. Rabbi Lai cut down a palm tree which carried Kofniot. Kofniot are non-fully developed dates during Shemitah. The Gemara asks, how could he cut down the date tree? But it doesn't say, how could he cut down the date tree? He's stealing. No. It says, the Torah said you're supposed to eat Pero Shvias. You're not supposed to dispose of them. So why did the Rambam pick a different reason? Where does this Goza B'nei Adam come from? Tosfos Yom Tov runs this exactly in source number 16. And to paraphrase it briefly outside, he says, I don't understand why the Rambam wrote this. It's against the Gemara. And now you're right. Okay, so, you know, in a sort of theological way, we can posit all sorts of reasons for a mitzvah. That's fair game. But when it comes to halacha, you have to use the reason the Gemara gives if there's a distinction between the reasons. Now, whether or not the Rambam always follows that is an interesting question. Whether the Rambam always gives the reason the Gemara gives, not sure. But the Tosfos Yom Tov says, what's he doing? They said, well, maybe the Rambam just giving the reason behind the drasha of the Gemara. The Rambam agrees to the Gemara. It's the Ochla V'lola Hefsid. The Rambam's just telling you philosophically, why do we say the Ochla V'lola Hefsid? You can't throw out Pero Shvias, so you don't steal from the public. He says, I still don't get it. What was wrong? It's just saying. That's what the Torah said. You can't throw out Pero Shvias. Why do you need a new reason? And he sort of shrugs and doesn't know the answer. However, there are two different approaches I found in the Mefarshim on the Mishnah to explain the Rambam. And they're both very interesting. And I think they both help to further clarify this notion of Ochla V'lo L'hefsid. Rabbi David Pardo, the Hishosham David, gives the following explanation. Take a look at source number 17. Mikomakom nir lefi aniyot daiti. Seems to me that Rambam made a farishkaf. No, the Rambam just disagrees with Tosfos Yom Tov. He's not just giving an explanation for the reason of the Gemara. Elak derebiloi cuts us a kafniot atzman beodan pagi. When the Gemara says Rebbe Ilah, this Amora in the Gemara cut down the kafniot, it wasn't referring to the tree. It was referring to the fruit. He harvested the fruit themselves before they had ripened, when they were still immature. Uvahahu de Amor begemara de Asr Misham Ochla. Cutting down the fruit early, that's a problem of the Ochla Velola Hesed. Ababi Kote Tilanatsman, Filila Raman, the Meolimar begemara Tamzet. But in terms of cutting down the tree, the Rambam says the Gemara never mentioned the Ochla Velola Hesed. The Inkane Nimsa Shein Isor Ella Bismancha Peratalayan. Because that would mean that it's only forbidden to cut down the tree if the fruit is already on the tree. Bekotitzim pagima eitzim, and you're cutting down the immature fruits with the wood. Behuzal mefarish to kishig diloy elanos achehim reuyim lehotzi peros kishir hamefarish. Also, the kotitzim apilinalayan peros. This is a huge chiddush in the Rambam, he's suggesting, and I'm not sure it's a simple explanation at all, but he's saying, according to the Rambam, when the Mishnah says you can't cut down trees from when they begin to produce fruit, it doesn't mean that they actually produce the fruit. It doesn't even mean the fruit started growing. It means that the trees at this point in their development are worthy, are fit to produce fruit at that stage of development. But as long as they're worthy of producing such fruit, even if they haven't yet produce the fruit, you still can't cut them down. And that's why he says, goes around. You're saying it's not what it says. I hear you. it's a weak shot for that reason. It's weak. I agree with you. I prefer the shot of the Mishnah Rishonah combined with the source number 19. Take a look at the Mishnah Rishonah. I think he has a good point here. Are you guys still with me? Frozen? We good? Fontana, give me a thumbs up. There we go. Sky. Okay. Mishnah Rishonah says in source number 18 a different explanation. But I want to also focus not just on how he explains the Rambam, but also on how he explains the prohibition himself. And I think it's quite fascinating. It says in Mishnah Rishonah, Afilu b'derech shemutar b'shar shein shavua, k'shadam av yikarim, levin yinasar b'shvias. Point number one. We generally don't cut down fruit trees. Because that's Baal Tashchis. Keep this in mind. That's what the Torah says. You're not allowed to cut down the fruit tree. So the Mishnah means that even when, in general, you're allowed to cut down fruit trees, Kishadamiyav Yikarim Levinyan, when the wood itself is very valuable and can be used for construction. In such a case, even though you shouldn't cut down a fruit tree unnecessarily, it's permitted to cut it down if you're doing it when the wood is more valuable than the fruit on the tree. That's not considered hashchasa. However, asur b'shvias mishinikar maperos da'ilan atzal in book yushashvias b'chol's manshli nikar maperos mutter the kotz zavak shinikar maperos choling yushashvias. As once the peros emerge on the tree, they have kedusha shvias. Even if the tree itself is more valuable than the fruit, it's forbidden to cut down the tree. And look what he says here: im mafsidon. And if he does cut down the tree and causes the fruit to be lost, harezeh mafsid kudshin. Mafsid kudshin. It's like he's causing kudshin, holy objects. Kudshin is the term we use to refer to karbonos, to be lost. The problem is mafsid kudshin. The Torah said you can't cause shvius to be lost. Then he says, "About time to cause the Rambam that he goes to the Rambam. Why the Rambam writes that it's public? It's stealing from the public. Nirashech Michul Zed Dekashile Da Karchon Mari Kishadam of Yikarim Levinyan. To be fair, God of Mishar Shem and Mutter. The Rambam was bothered by the following. The Mishnah is obviously talking about a case where in other years it would be mutter to cut down the tree. Otherwise, there's nothing special about Shvius. And therefore, I must be talking about a case where the wood is very valuable, more valuable than the fruits. And therefore, he says, I don't understand. Okay, I don't understand. Why is the Gemara making such a big deal about the ochla v'lo lehefsid? It says we're supposed to eat peros v'shvias, not dispose of them. It says the same thing by all trees. Mimenu tochal v'oso lo tichros. You should eat from them and not cut them down. Why are we more stringent for a shvius than we are for other trees? It's the same exact formulation. And yet it's not considered hefsed or hashchasa to cut it down when the wood's more valuable. It's a net gain. So what's the problem with cutting down the shvius tree? The lamana b'shvius sorter, but oh my David gezel, that's why. You're right. In terms of waste being wasteful, that wouldn't be a problem. But stealing. The Mishnah Rishon says that's an interesting explanation, but I disagree. That's not sufficient. Why? It's not possible. So instead, if the problem is stealing from the Rabbim, get up there and say, okay, everybody, I hereby declare that the value of the peros are hefker. You can take them. I'm not stealing. Come, go ahead and take the peros. Why isn't that okay then? Then cut down the tree and use the wood. Yashri says, it's shvius tofes dama. Va'peros atzum olam kedoshim. It's not true though. The peros will still be kodesh. Elahatam demafsik kachim lesser b'cholayin. The reason is because why would you distinguish between a tree on other years and a tree during shvius? Simple. During other years, the peros are in kodesh. But during shvius, it's mafsid kachim. That's why you can't cut it down. Now, but how do we explain the Rambam? I think the answer is what you see in source 19 and 20, which is that it's not that the Rambam's saying you're stealing the fruits, because again, if you mafsid them, and after you mafsid them, it's not stealing. The answer is that according to the Rambam, the Torah only, even if you got it from Hefker, even if it's yours, the Torah only allows you to use peroshvius for le'ochla uses. It's not complete ownership as it would be with a regular object. And therefore, if you misuse shvius produce, you are going beyond the bounds of your ownership rights. And it's by definition stealing. So being mafker them doesn't help. Because even after you're mafker them, the very fact that they're shvius means that you can't use them in certain ways. So by cutting down the tree, that is by definition gezel, because the Torah doesn't allow you to do that to your peros shvius, even if they're yours. That's what the Rambam saying in terms of gezel. Shir b'kinyano. So there's a really interesting question. This is a very common question in the Achronim about how much do you peros shvius? There is an interesting point because the Gemara says you can be mekadesh and isha with peros shvius. But does that mean, to what degree do you not own perishvias? To what degree do you own perishvias? Is an interesting question to consider, right? Rashina raises. But I think it is saying, sure, but you know, probably the reason you could be Makash Nisha with them is because the value that you have of the ability to eat the perishvias is enough of a value to, for a Shava Prut to be Makash Nisha. But that's the way that the Achron explains this Rambam. It's not that you're stealing the fruits because you cut it down. It's that whatever you do to the fruits, which is not included in the Ochla, is by definition gezel. But we have two different explanations of this notion of the Ochla v'lo lehefsed. What is the problem with disposing peros shvius? According to what Mishnah Rishona said, it's simple, because they're holy. It's mafsed kadshim. But if you don't think that shvius has this notion of kedusha, then you may take an approach to the Rambam, which is it's not that they're holy, it's that you're stealing by doing so. Another expression of this question of kedusha relates to the Asagos Haramban on the Rambam, and the following question. Is there a positive commandment? Is there a mitzvah to say to eat peros shvius? Meaning, certainly, everybody will agree that you can't throw out or dispose of peros shvius inappropriately. But let's say you're not going to do that. Do you fulfill a commandment by eating them, or are you simply avoiding, performing a prohibition? Is there any positive commandment you fulfill when you eat shvius? The source for this notion is from the Hasogos Rambam on the Rambam, comments in the Rambam's counting of the mitzvos, where the Ramban talks about the mitzvos that the Rambam forgot. And one of the third mitzvah the Rambam forgot, according to the Rambam, is the mitzvah of la'ochla, that associated with shvius. Says the Rambam here in source number 21, Sha'amra Torah b'peiro shviyas. B'hayta shabbat ha'aretz lachem l'ochla. The Torah says regarding Shemitah produce that the rest of the land shall be for you to eat. B'darshu, and they expounded, l'ochla v'lo l'schora, to eat and not for commerce. That's comment one. To eat and not for commerce. V'zed var Torahu, this is biblical. K'mo sha'am ruperek ba'asher shavod zarah. Nimsa porechobo perishvias. The Gemara in Avodah Zarah says, if one pays back their debt with perishvias, hatorah amalochol oschorah. That's a biblical violation of the mandate of eating it and not doing it for commerce. Now, at this point, is the Rambam saying there's a positive mitzvah to eat perishvias? I'm not sure. To me, it sounds like it's more of an isur asay. You can't do, it's a lav habam mechal say. It Torah says, eat perishvias, which means you can't do commerce with it. However, now the Rambam quotes a number of other things. The Rambam says, many places in the Talmud, ba halashin azeh, benichva azu ha-mitzvah, this commandment is mentioned a number of times. Ba'omor yitaleh, when it says, Achlu ev yonei amecha, the destitute of your nation should eat it. Shalo amar le'ev yonei amecha, it doesn't say for the destitute, but they should actively eat it. It doesn't say le'ev yonei amecha tazobotam, it doesn't say leave it for the destitute, rather it says v'achlu. Kam lecha tshaka aval lashon achila, maskir ben makasov, it mentions eating it, b'chol makom. The Rabban is a bit cryptic. On the one hand, he emphasizes sechora, specifically doing business with peros shvias. But he also mentions specifically that the Torah did not say leave it for the destitute, but that they should eat it. It mentions lashon achila. So what is the emphasis here? If you look in Megillas Esther in source number 22, Megillas Esther here is defending the Rambam. Why didn't the Rambam count this as a mitzvah? And the Megillas Esther says as follows. Nirili, himashlo mana harav hu lefish shemasha darshu chachamim le'olcha v'lo eschara. Ein perusha shehe mitzvah b'achilatam. When the rabbis wrote in the Gemara that it's the olcha v'lo eschara, that doesn't mean that there's a positive commandment to eat perishvias. You're allowed to eat it. And you're not allowed to do business. And I can prove to you eating perishvias is not a mitzvah. From the Mishnah in Shvias Parakhash, Shvias nitzna la'achila shevasicha. Shvias is given over to eat and to drink and for anointing. Below Kamashvi is mitzvah ba'achila. It doesn't say it's a mitzvah to eat. It does. You're allowed to. Not sure that's the strongest proof, as we'll get to. However, here's what I want to focus on. The Megillas Esther says the reason the Rambam didn't count this mitzvah is because he felt it was an isur asay. It wasn't a positive commandment to go eat mitzvah. It's a lav haba mechal asay. Eat it, meaning don't do business with it. But the Ramban did count the mitzvah. Evidently, Megillas Esther thought that the Ramban thought it was a positive mitzvah. The Rambam disagrees and says it's a lav haba michlal asay. And the Chazon Ish in source number 23 also understood the Megillas Esther in this way, and he says absolutely not. But focus for a second on why the Chazon Ish says that this is incorrect. In source number 13, from Mechaz Neshvias, Yudalad Osyud. Ein chiyov la'olam lechol perishvias. There is no obligation ever to eat perishvias. Why? She'enon kishlamim, she'en mitzvah v'achilasan. They're not like a carbon shlamim, such that there would be a mitzvah to consume them. Meaning, consider, why would it make sense that there would be an active mitzvah to eat perishvias? Now, you don't have to say this necessarily, but if you assume that perushvias were kadosh in a certain sense, then we could understand a mitzvah to eat them. It's a mitzvah to eat kadshim. It's a mitzvah to eat karbanos. It's a mitzvah to eat maaser sheni. And therefore, the Chazanu says, it's not like shlamim. It's not like maaser sheni. There's no kedusha in that sense. It's an Isser to do it, to use it inappropriately, but it's not a mitzvah to eat Perushvius. And he says, Ra'isi b'sefer Megillas Esther ba sefasasin shel Ramban shepirushas Ramban hefuk mizeh. I saw Megillas Esther explains the Ramban thought it was a positive mitzvah. Aval kavanas Ramban the Isser scholar with minyanase. He says no, Megillas Esther understood the Ramban incorrectly. Even the Ramban agrees that it's not a positive mitzvah. It's simply a lava b'machalase. Eat it. You're allowed to eat it, but you are not allowed to do business with it. And so the Chazanish dismisses this possibility. However, the Torah Ta'aretz in source number 24 defends this concept of a mitzvah saseh. And for time's sake, he goes through the whole discussion. He quotes the Ramban, he quotes the Megillas Esther, he quotes the questions that the Megillas Esther asked the Ramban, and then he tries to defend this notion of mitzvos aseh. excuse me. So take a look here where he says, I'll read from the beginning, why not? It says the Torah Saras. Atenevar b'siyat d'shmaya hadinim b'shenog and perishviyas. Mikodem mar tenevar imish mitzvah chiyas perishviyas. Is there a mitzvah? Oh no. V'hine Ramban b'seh for a mitzvah, mitzvah seh, shahus a mitzvah gimel. In the mitzvah the Ramban added, chashav aseh l'ochav alo schor perishviyas. He adds the aseh of l'ochav alo schor. V'tzar chiyin. Lama lo hevin l'ochav alo hefseh. Why didn't he quote the Olah Olah Hesed? He got King Joshua Gemurah, Basra not Torah. Why did the Ramban only quote this notion of not doing business with Perushvius and not the question of disposing of Perushvius? That's also Asra not Torah. Kamosha Kasat to the Kaman. Basra, he says, the Nakatel Rabusa, the Afas Chora, even for Schora, the Enu Mapsa Perus Klum Asra not Torah, this Mali Mila Akla, the Kol Shakim Lahepsa Perus, this Mali Mila Akla. He says it's all one asay. He wrote Schora because it's more machudash. You're not even disposing of them. Someone else will eat them. And nevertheless, the Torah says, even though you're selling them so someone else can eat them, it's still prohibited. But it's all one big mitzvah asay. The Angel Ochla. It's not clear from the Ramban that it's a mitzvah asay. If you dispose of them inappropriately, you sell them, you violate the asay. Ah, midivria Megillas Esther sham misbarid mefarish atzeram the sober the yishmet as a say balchias perishvius ayn sham. However, the Megillas Esther did understand the Ramban that way. Megillas Esther sham hevi raya the mitzvah b'achilasan midavriim mishvius shvius nitna lachilas tiyosicha. Megillas Esther brings a raya. It's not a mitzvah, because it doesn't say it's a mitzvah to eat shvius. It says nitna l'achila. Below amar mitzvah b'achila. Vipele! What's a ridiculous proof? So God of Meister Shani, Reish Perik Beis Aminon Kane. We say the same thing about Meister Shani. Meister Shani nitain l'achila. It says Meister Shani is nitain l'achila. Everyone agrees it's a mitzvah to eat Meister Shani. Atavada yikam mitzvah b'achila Meister Shani. Everyone agrees to that. Why the Ram didn't count is an interesting question, but everyone agrees it's a mitzvah to eat Maaser Sheni. Because in Kenad Rabba, neither Shana B'Shvius Lashon Zekmo Maaser Sheni, it starts Raya Dikim Mitzvah B'Chilas Pero Shvius. Since it parallels the language of Maaser Sheni, I could bring you a proof. Just as Maaser Sheni is Nitna Ba'Achila, and that's a mitzvah to say, eating Pero Shvius is Nitna Ba'Achila. B'Chein Yishlochia Medar Mina B'Mishnah, the Shvius HaNiskar. Bechem b'tshuma u'maiser u'maiser sheni kal mehen shvius shenitna la lakas haner. It says that shvius in this mishnah is less strict than shruma and meiser. Why? Because you can burn shvius. Vim ein mitzvah b'achias per shvius lam lo chash de gam zekal. Why didn't the gemara say shvius is more lenient than shruma and meiser? There's no mitzvah. Dei mitzvah achila. Don't tell me that the Mishnah wasn't mentioning that. It was just mentioning the dinim. No, it could have said it's not a mitzvah. Ula, here's the kicker. From the fact that the Mishnah says you are allowed to burn perishvius, that you can burn them with a candle. Maybe that proves there's no mitzvah. Why can you burn them if there's a mitzvah to eat them? Meaning, the Gemara suggests that you can have benefit from Peiro Shvius if the Hana'asin of your own Shava, if you can, while you're benefiting from them, the Peiros themselves get consumed. Why can you do that? Isn't that, why isn't there a mitzvah to eat them? If there's a mitzvah to eat them, what gives you the right to burn them? So I don't understand. Why don't we say that's forbidden? How could you do that? Dim lokein, lo yisa Torah. You can't say that you're fulfilling a mitzvah by burning it. You can dye. You can use perishvias as a dye to color your clothing. So in ze mitzvah shichi yuvishiyachayev lecho rakim ochal mekayim a mitzvah. Maybe you can be docha and say, even though it's a mitzvah, it doesn't mean there's an obligation to eat perishvias. It's a mitzvah kiyumis. It's a mitzvah that if you do it, you fulfill it. However, if you don't, you're not violating any obligation. Frozen? You with me still? Hope so. So the Torah Sa'aret says it's a mitzvah kiyumis. Maybe it's not a mitzvah like eating matzah on Leil HaPesach, the first night of Pesach, such that you have to go and actively eat, and if you don't, you're violating this mitzvah to say. Rather, it's a kiyumis. If you eat Peiros Shviyos, it's a mitzvah. And if you don't, then you didn't do a mitzvah, but you didn't violate it. And therefore, that's why you have permission to do tzviyah, to use it for dyeing, and other purposes. So the Torah says, all right, let's go with the middle option. It's not an obligatory mitzvah, but it's also not chol. It's not nothing. You are mekayim a mitzvah. However, Avraham Yitzchak HaKohen Cook in Source number 25 says something very forceful against this notion of mitzvah kiyumis. Take a look at Avraham Yitzchak HaKohen Cook in Shabbat Ta'aretz, Sif Chavalet. Bim yesh mitzvah b'alchias perishviyis, if there is a mitzvah to eat perishviyis, yesh lomar she'aser l'sheves b'tainis rishus. It's forbidden to fast voluntarily. Misha yesho perishviyis kol zman so achlo. That you can't declare a fast as long as you possess Peiros Shviyos that you haven't eaten. That by doing so, you'll be in violation of this notion of Achilas Peiros Shviyos. So clear if Cook thinks it's not optional. If it was optional, there'd be no problem of declaring a fast. In fact, I would argue that Rav Cook is saying it's not even the same as eating matzah. It sounds like it's a mitzvah in the chetzah, the Peiros Shviyos, meaning it's not like on matzah where you have an obligation to eat matzah. You don't have to ensure all your matzah is eaten. If you have leftover matzah, you know, you can eat it until Sukkot for all we care. It's fine. You don't have to make sure that by the end of the night of Pesach, all your matzah gets eaten. Peiros Shviyos, says Rav Cook, is not like that. The mitzvah is upon you to ensure that the Peiros Shviyos are eaten. You have to make sure that they get eaten. It's even more intensive. And just to know, the Ma'arid al-Ghazi in source number 26 says, if indeed we do say that Shviyos is a mitzvah to say, it's an active mitzvah to eat Shviyos, well, you could argue then that the prohibition of la'ochla v'lo lahefsid parallels the mitzvah to say of achila. Why can't you throw out Peiros Shviyos? Not because it's holy necessarily, not because it's stealing, but because you have a mitzvah to eat them. And if you throw them out, you're violating that mitzvah. That's why you can't throw them out. Now, this would mean, though, that achila generally in the Torah refers to kezias. So he suggests maybe then if you have peiros shviyos that are pachos mikezias, then you can throw them out because the mitzvah doesn't flow from their kedusha. It flows from the mitzvah's asay of la'ochla. But this question of whether or not peiros shviyos have kedusha also may relate to the question of whether it's a positive mitzvah to eat Peiros Shviyos or no. We say it's not like shlamim, like the Chazon Ish says, it's a mitzvah to eat them. Just don't misuse them. Another question here that I think highlights the notion of Kedusha Shviyos is the question that Rav Shlomo Zalman raises here in source number 27 of Hefsid Kedusha Bilvad. Meaning, everybody will ultimately agree. You know, you could ask Rabbi Bergman, why are you getting so philosophical on us? Bottom line, can you throw out Peiros Shviyos? No. So Kedusha, no Kedusha, okay, you can't throw it out. What about the following? What if I treat Kedush Perosvius in such a way that they don't get thrown out, but they lose their Kedusha. How would you want to do that? Bittel. Take a look at source number 27. Kasav is Sefer Adni Miluin, Mitzvosav, Simon Yeches. The Kesh Mevatel Shruma Barov Chulin. If you take Shruma and you're Mevatel it in Chulin, Havilei Ke'ilu Me'abda B'yadayim. It's as if you actively destroyed it. L'chein Kasav Sham De'Lavan Mizeshu Over Ahad De'im Mevan Es L'Hachila. Therefore, if you do so, if you take a bit of Shruma, you throw it, you have some Shruma, you throw it into your Cholent, which is all Chulin. And now you can eat the Cholent because there's so much that you can, that there's no Shruma anymore. It's Batel. Aside from the fact that we generally say you shouldn't be mevatel isurim lechachila, over nami asay the uvish shamarta mismeres shruma side is also an active obligation to guard shruma. Now you didn't destroy the shruma, but since it became batel to the chulein, that's also being ma'abed b'yadayim. The hayaner lefizes says the shlomo zalman. It would seem based on this the hu hadin nami peroshvius. The same should apply to shvius produce. Turn the page, please. Kevan Shakarna calls a Kodesh. The Torah calls them holy. Umuzara of Sidon. We're warned against disposing of them. Asher Gan came to Arvam, but Perisha Shar Shanim off in Baitolecho as called Harumes. Meaning, if you have a big fruit salad, and most of the fruits are Shishes, they're fruits of the sixth year, and you want to put a little bit of Shvius Peros in there, but it's going to get mixed up such that you don't know which is which, and the whole thing's Batel. That is prohibited. That is a prohibition of being ma'abe peroshvius b'yadayim. Kevin desob so paka midaraisa kedusha shvius b'nepacha kol yos chulin. So it should be prohibited. However, Shlomo Zalman says, not so fast. Amnam nira. However, it appears, the lo dami l'truma. We should not compare peroshvius to truma. Why? Even though Shvius is called Kodesh, since biblically you're allowed to make Perishvius impure, as we'll see in a bit, when the Tosefta says, as we'll see, that you shouldn't anoint Shvius oil with Tame hands, that's Rabbanon. You can feed perishvias to a non-Jew. Since you see that if you have a non-Jewish guest, although ideally we try to avoid feeding perishvias to non-Jews, if they're your guest or your worker, there is a heter. We don't care about disposing or unnecessarily, we only care rather about disposing a shvius, of destroying it, of ruining it, not about simply removing its holiness. I'll tell you why. The Iker Isser Hefse, Lo Machmas Kedushahu. The Isser of Hefse, it's not Bizyon Kachin. It's not Mavsa Kachin like the Mishnah Rishona said. No, it's like what we suggested for the Rambam. Mistari Frakmana Hefker. It's from the notion of Hefker. The Chayman de Meafker who the Kazachile Zachi, since you get it from Hefker, the Torah only awards you ownership such that you will eat it, not to dispose it. But it doesn't have to do with Kedusha. Avaloma Tsino Bishamakum Shiatra Atorla Ochandaka Bikedusha. We don't find they're supposed to eat them Bikedusha. So this question of whether or not there is Kedusha Perishvius also relates to the question of Bittel. And now I want to end with what Rosh Shlomo Zalman just mentioned. Is how should we look at this notion of not making Perishvius impure or Bizyon Perishvius, mistreating Perishvius in a way that doesn't destroy them but is quote unquote disrespectful? Is such behavior problematic? And if so, why? If you look at sources 28 and 29, The Mishnah here in the Yerushalmi and the Tosefta both talk about how we need to treat Perishvius appropriately. Says the Yerushalmi in source number 28, Ein Sachin Shemen Shel Shvius B'Merchatz. You shouldn't anoint Shvius oil in the bathhouse. Rather, V'Sachin B'Chutz. You anoint it outside, v'nichnas, and then go inside. Why can't you bring shvius oil into a bathhouse? Well, we know there are certain things we shouldn't bring into a bathhouse. You don't bring Torah into a bathhouse. You don't bring svarim into a bathhouse. Is shvius similar? And well, the Gemara continues. Lo shem and sreifa. You shouldn't bring truma oil. Lo mevatei knesios, not into a shul. Lo mevatei midrashos, bivnei bizyon kodshim. Because it's humiliating kodshim. Take a look at Tosafta. Similarly, shem and shvius in sachanos ol biyadayin tmeos. We don't anoint ourselves with oil of shvius if our hands are impure. But it says, "Nafal God b'soro." If you did, and it fell on your flesh, mishasha fall for your dying tomatoes. Okay, then you can get it off. So it's lechachila. We don't make shemen shoshvius impure. Why? If you look at the Panay motion source number 30, he explains because it's bizyon kodshin. Hadatanina shemen shoshvius sachem. But when the Mishnah said you can anoint yourself with shvius oil, hanu shesach atmo b'chus b'nichnatz, you do so outside the bathhouse. And then you go inside. Because that would not be treating shvius appropriately to bring it into a bathhouse. It's wrong. Bizyon kodesh refers to shvius. The Maharid here in source number 31, just generally along the same lines, in his long tshuva, which we referenced a few weeks ago when we were talking about Yevol Nachri and non-Jewish produce, and he defends buying non-Jewish produce during Shemitah, how it doesn't act Kedusha Shvius, he says as well that it's not a problem to give them Dimei Shvius. There's no problem of giving the non-Jew the money which you use to pay for the Shvius produce, even though we say that that money becomes Kedusha Kedusha Shvius. Why? He says, Atam Sham, which also them call Ahem Dimei Shvius, they got muscle hachla compared Shvius. Even though they said you're not supposed to give a non-Jew shvius money, and you shouldn't feed a non-Jew pair of shvius, near the daka pero shvius shebiadenu on a mechuyavim le'ochlam, and this sounds a lot like a mitzvah to eat it. The pero shvius in our hands is an obligation to eat. The lol have sedum, and not to dispose of them. Shenasinas kuti who have said giving it to a non-Jew is considered disposing of it. Which is exactly what Rosh Shlomo Zalman said we don't need to do. He says the mitzvah is to eat them while they're holy. And the shvius money, which we already have in our possession, which is kadosh, we should use it for achila and not dispose of it inappropriately. While we have the money, it's not kadosh. And when we give it to the non-Jew and exchange it for shvius, that's when it becomes kadosh. Therefore, it's not a problem. As long as we have the money, it's not kadosh. Therefore, we can give the non-kadosh money to the non-Jew to pay for the pure shvius, even though ultimately it would become kadosh. And then he says, and furthermore, since the whole prohibition against hesed is because of the kedusha, it's because of the kedusha of the peros and the money, if you give it to a non-Jew, it loses its kedusha. So he argues. Point being that the Maharid here clearly assumes it is because of Kedusha. It's Bizyon Kodesh, just as the Pnei Moshe and the Mishnah Rishona said earlier. However, there is a bit of a difference of opinion here on this matter, and I think it's a bit more complex. Take a look at the Aruch HaShulchan Torah 32, who split these two halachot. The Aruch HaShulchan first quotes the halacha against anointing shvius oil in the merachatz, and he says that that's not Bizyon Kachim. Bizyon Kachim was referring to the Truma. You can't bring the Truma into the Beis Knesset because you can't be Ma'ave Truma. Why can't you bring Shvius oil into the Merachatz? Because we're afraid you're going to drop it into the bath and you're going to lose it and you're going to be Ma'ave it. But it's not that bringing it in there inherently is a violation of its Kedusha. How, so he says there's no problem of bringing Shvius oil into a Merichot. It's not holy in the way that Kitzvei Kodesh are, that you don't bring them into a Merichot. However, in terms of being mitame, then it's a bit more unequivocal. Says Aruch HaShulchan, look at the little second snippet there. Oh, Shanina B'Tosefta Sham, Shemen Shal Shvius in Sachan Osob Yadayin Tmeos. We say in the Tosefta, you don't use, if your hands are impure, you shouldn't use them to anoint yourself with Shvius oil. However, Nafal B'Sar Mishav Shishbol Fil B'Yadayin Tmeos. But if a shtickle, a Shvius oil falls on your body, you can dust it off, even if you're Tame. Why? Ba'atam, the Tame Lechachila Perish Shvius, Shes Ben Sas Kedusha. The reason that ideally we don't make Perish Shvius Tame is because they had a little bit of Kedusha. But just a little bit. So if it falls on your clothes, you can brush it off. We don't worry. What does it mean that Perish Shvius have a little bit of Kedusha? I think the answer is that we have different sort of ends of the spectrum here, right? As I sort of point out to you in this table, comparing, as Rehersh does, Kachi B'dekabayis, Shvius, and Avodah Zarah. Meaning we have a certain things in Halacha which have a certain Halachic status which transfers to the Damim, which transfers to the money they are exchanged for. On the one hand, it's hard to suggest Shvius is like Kachi B'dekabayis. It's like a carbon, or it's like Hekdesh, or it's like Maser Sheni. Seems a bit of a stretch. On the other hand, are you going to say it's really just Usher, like Arla or Avodah Zarah? If you look at this table here, I hope it's not too confusing. What I tried to point out is Shvius is not like any other halachic object. Kachshei B'dekabayis, we said, you can transfer the Kedusha. The original object, the Kedusha is transferred to the money, and so on and so forth. Every single exchange, the Kedusha goes from one thing to the other. Avodah Zarah is the opposite in that every single object that's transferred for Avodah Zarah, at least according to the Rambam, is all Usher. It's Usher, Avodah Zarah is Usher. Then you sell Avodah Zarah, that's Usher. It's all Usher. Shvius is in the middle. The original pre is Kadosh, and then the money that you use gets the Kedusha, but if you use the money to buy something else, the third object is holy, the second isn't. Why is that? Rav Hirsch here explains in source number 33 a really interesting idea. And he contrasts it with Avodah Zarah, but let's begin where he says Keneged Zen, the first line. Keneged Zen Perish Shvius Him Chafatzim HaMidvatzim Meshilton Hashem HaKinyoncha. Shvius produce is, quote-unquote, Kadosh, in that it expresses the notion that God has control over our possessions. That Perish Shvius represents God's authority over everything we have. Omutab, he must hear Mes Hashem. They remind us of God. Shukona Aretz Akriya Shalcha, that he owns the land which is called yours. Ba'odasha Aretz Knulia Hashem, Misbatas Bahanas Perosah. And the notion that God owns the land, Artsinu Akdusha, the land of Israel, is expressed through the way that we benefit from its peros. And just to cut to the chase here, if you look right boldly, he says, Peros of him kadosh l'rayon hakel. The peros are holy in terms of the God's idea that they express. Meaning, peros vias are not holy in the same way that, say, hektish is, but they're also not totally devoid of kedusha. They're holy in that they express this important notion that the Eretz Yisrael and its peros belong to Hashem. And they remind us of Hashem. And he says, the original pre, it's important that it continues to express this idea. Therefore, the Torah forbids you to simply sell it and remove it of its Kedusha. So you have that reminder of the fact that God owns the land and it's his peros. So I think then you can understand this middle category. It's not quite like a carbon, but it expresses this very important idea. And therefore, we should treat it with a certain level of Kedusha, although not quite equivalent to the Kedusha necessarily of Kachin. And Rav Kook, in expressing the notion of not being Metame Perish Shvius, expresses very nicely. He says, even though I don't think that we should necessarily paskin like the halacha, that you have to wash your hands before you Perish Shvius, he says,
even
Even though we no longer have Tuma and Tara Bisman on Zek, it's still appropriate to wash Netilas Yadayim before eating Perish Fias. Kashem should take Netilas on Masuda. The Sam Hugam can all make Rosh Avis God Ashtem. Why? Shenikra Kodesh, it's called Kodesh. And he has a line here, Shem Kodesh Nikra Alehem. God's holy name is proclaimed upon them. I don't need to stop here. I think we see that there's an interesting status for Perish Fias that Shem Shemayim Nikra Alehem, or Nikra Kodesh, not necessarily like Kedusha Shviyah, like Kedekachim, but also not the same as Chulin either. Okay, so next week we'll hopefully get into